Friday. It's Friday. Charlie's here from Fox 2, everybody.
Hey now.
Hey, everybody. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm pretty good, man.
Cool.
Say, listen, man, how old is that stuff? All that paperwork of yours there. Do you keep the old articles?
You know, it's just, this is like garbage over here. And it's nice to be able to refer back if I need something from two or three days ago. But about every 2 weeks, I just grab a big pile of it and throw it out.
Start
a new pile.
You're insane.
I'd make a hell of a serial killer, wouldn't I?
It's like a shoebox full of clippings from less than a week.
Well, it's...
I love you, man.
Prep. Show prep.
You're keeping the newspapers alive.
Do you read the physical newspaper at all?
I hate it. I keep trying to...
Really?
I try to make it go away.
I thought you'd like the newspaper.
I used to like the newspaper.
You like the online lot better?
But they're shit now. There's nothing in them, so I just have garbage in my house. Yeah, I go online.
Well, I do like online because of the comments. The comments are so much fun to read. It's occasionally, not always.
That's funny you say that. I won't read the comments.
You don't read the comments?
I used to write for the newspaper, and after a while, you know, when they first started commenting, like, you fucking asshole! It's like, 100 people that love you and one that hates you, and you just walk around pissed off all day and think, well, why am I a fucking asshole? How did he know I'm a fucking asshole?
Well, yeah, I've had my nemesis in the comments section. Anything on 105.1 or WRF, always, there's always a few pukes there, and we've been talking a lot about them the last few days. But Tom Kowalski, God rest his soul, I love Tom. What a great, great guy. He had one guy who was always the first commenter on every story he did. The same motherfucker. Every time. And it was always something obnoxious.
Like, had to have him.
Had to. Every time. Why Tom was wrong about what he was writing about.
See, that guy secretly loved Tom.
I think so, too.
That's the thing. When guys are assholes to you and you actually talk to them online, they come around.
Well, Tom had some affection for this guy. I mean, after a while, it was sort of like if he wasn't the first guy, he missed him.
Exactly.
Where is he? What had something happened to him?
What happened? Like the article sucked. He's not out there. He's not even reading anymore.
Yeah, I'm so bad he won't even read my story anymore.
Have you seen the new format of 105.1, by the way?
Oh,
yeah.
The bounce. Well.
Like this.
I had not seen that.
Yeah, they were playing the classics, and when I went over to grab us some food, I had the station on, and it was hip-hop and rap all of a sudden. That's their new format.
Pop and rap, eh?
Flip from Buddy Holly to Kanye West.
Yeah. Okay.
Strategy. I love good strategy.
Yeah, I wonder how they... okay. Well, great.
Aren't you glad now?
Yeah. Hey, I'm wondering why you're here today. What happened, Route 66? No, uh-uh.
Fuck it.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, you
That's too bad. That was such a great idea.
It's hard working for a company. I mean, I'm not ragging on the company, but it's... Basically, it's just a little bit disordered. Like, we can't front the money. You know, nobody's rich. You know, you got a camera guy. He's got a family. So we'll do it from Chicago instead of, you know, Los Angeles. That's what we're going to have to do. It's just too much. And everybody's on vacation. You're out there filing stories, and nobody's there to catch them.
Well, it was a really ambitious thing, and that's why I thought, wow, what a cool thing. Because it was so ambitious, I thought, if you pull it off, it's going to be really one of the cooler things I've seen on TV in a while.
Yeah, you know,
local news.
You would think, and you want to buy into it, but and you know they said go, but all the shit wasn't there to get it done. And to be honest with you, I've circumnavigated the globe by myself, so I wasn't worried about the work or if it could be done. It's just
That's the part that would intimidate most people is, oh my God, how do you hitchhike across Route 66 and do the stories and get all it done and you know not. Die of neurosis.
It beats me.
I can tell that part doesn't bother you at all.
No, we're going to get it done. But, you know, like I said, if we're trying to get on a bus with Black Lives Matter out of Chicago, you know what I mean, to go to the Trump convention and then, you know, do our thing and then hitchhike from Cleveland.
You and your camera guy are getting
Me and Matt Phillips, yeah. You know, and maybe stop in a coal mine on the way, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
So we'll just cut it in half and gives ourselves a couple weeks to get the technology in order and get everybody on the same page. So, like I said, this isn't really dogging anybody. It's like it just wasn't ready. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You want to pull the switch, but it's not connected to the fuse board, you know? So
you had the idea months ago.
3 years ago.
And it was sort of like, well, maybe, maybe not. And then all of a sudden it was a go, and it was a little bit late in the game, and I guess it was too late. Maybe.
Yeah, so you know, I'm still trying to get a hold of Schwarzenegger, maybe do something with him and, you know, whatever.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Yeah, because Arnold was going to be your kickoff bit. You were going to ride cycles with Arnold?
Yeah, he was. You know, how do you... You can't hitchhike in L.A., so you need it. You got to call a friend, so... I was going to call Schwarzenegger. I don't know if he's a friend, but hey, dude, pick me up, man.
Wow. And he would have done it?
Still negotiating. Now, I heard Kanye was down with doing it.
Really?
Yeah, the second leg of it.
Stop it!
Now, do you have a connection with Kanye?
None. Ooh!
You just
beat you to it, baby.
You son of a bitch.
If you had a connection, it would have been, ooh! All right, well, that's too bad, but I know you'll get something out of it anyway.
Well, tonight we're riding around with the Detroit Fire Department.
Really?
Yeah, on the trucks, into the fires.
You taking cameras into the fire?
We got GoPros and stuff. Yeah, we'll see how it goes, but you know...
Oh, GoPros, of course.
A fascinating thing about what's happened in Detroit, and the fire department has turned around, and you can... I'll tell you about it next week, no sense going into it now, but that's a way... that we can try this new technology out, the cameras, the posting it, you know, so we want to turn it around. But the interesting thing about Detroit and fires is there are now more fires over the 4th of July weekend than there are on Devil's Night weekend.
What is that, simply replace Devil's Night? That's the time to set fire, in other words?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, you know, they really pushed on Devil's Night to keep it down, right? It's all hands on deck. Number two,
please don't burn the city up, please.
Any asshole that's 18 or over can have a firework,
right?
And there you go, abandoned buildings, 18 year olds with fireworks, boom.
And no, it's so no dry rain. Right now, too.
Yeah.
You know, some of the fireworks shows are being canceled.
Yep.
Which I don't ever remember that happening ever.
I never remember going to one as a kid.
Oh, you never went to the fireworks?
Man, we never went up north. We never went to a camp. We never went to a public pool.
You know, I grew up with a single mom, too, and I have to say, we didn't go on a lot of vacations. My grandparents lived in Michigan, so we went to Glen Lake a couple times. But I never thought about that either. Like, God, my mom, when you grow up with one parent, you tend to think, you know, there's a ripoff. My friends are doing this. My friends are doing that. And you don't realize, about this single parent that stuck with me, they really got kind of screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, that really sucks. She never went on vacation either.
That's why, like, as you get older, you really grow to, yeah, at least I did, you really grow to love and appreciate your mother. Like, all the hard shit she went through.
Yeah, it's a lot. There's nothing like a mom.
Love you, mama.
Nothing in the world.
She doesn't listen. She refused to have a computer.
Does she watch you on Fox, too?
She sometimes does now, yeah.
She does?
But her friends tell her about me.
Oh, that's even better.
It makes me proud. It makes her proud.
That's cool. How are your brothers doing these days?
You know,
see, I read about all these guys in your book, so I feel like I kind of know them.
My brother, Frankie, I don't know what any Jimmy and Billy, I don't know what they're doing, to be honest with you.
No? You don't talk to them a lot?
When we do, we do. And when we don't, we're all living our lives, and you know.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's better. You don't fight that way.
Johnny Manziel. We were talking about Johnny before the show today. We've talked about him actually a few times this week. I'm utterly fascinated. You know, just when he'd reached the point where it seemed like he was flipping the bird to everyone and saying, I'm in my rented mansion in Mexico. I'm getting high as hell. I've got hot chicks with me. Fuck you, Dad. Fuck the NFL. Now he says, you know what? I'm going to go to rehab in a few days. I'm going to have my last big bash, and then I'm going to go take care of all this, and I'll be ready to play soon. And I saw Dr. Drew on Good Morning America, and Dr. Drew said, he kiboshed it right away. He said, well, first of all, you know, when you push forward the date that you're going to rehab, that's not good. You know, the one last party thing, he didn't approve of that at all, of course. And then he said, he's not playing this year. He needs 6 to 12 months of treatment.
I don't know.
How does Dr. Drew know how serious an addict he is?
Or like what a professional athlete needs?
He doesn't know any of that shit. As far as I know, the guy's smoking a lot of pot, and he gets bombed. I don't know, maybe he's an alcoholic. I don't know. I'm not sure what Dr. Drew
I would think a lot of NFL players drink a lot and smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so.
That would be fairly standard, I would think.
And I think it'd be fairly standard that most people going to lock themselves away in rehab are going to have one last bash.
Yeah.
Usually why they go.
Well, regular people do that.
I would think so.
I know a guy got a DUI on the way to Betty Ford. And when they were telling stories and everybody's trying to top each other with the, I got so drunk, he was like the last guy to tell his story. And he said he just brought the house down. Then he got a DUI on the way there.
Dude, I got a DUI like a decade ago in L.A.
Uh-huh.
I blew like a Paris Hilton, like a 0.9 or some
car. Oh,
they pulled over for loud pipes. And they mandate you go to these classes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's dudes like crackhead or dude blew a, you know, a 3 and he was going the wrong way down the 5. I'm like, I blew a Paris Hilton. So they're making us watch, what was that intervention, that show? Remember that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The heroin addicts and shit. And I'm just looking over at Rico here. I'm like, dude, I had a margarita.
Have you ever, do you watch intervention at all in real life outside of there?
Outside the show?
I mean, you said, I thought you were watching it when you went to these meetings or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever watch it? Like, I mean, it's on A&E.
Yeah, no, I've never seen it outside of that class.
Oh, boy. That's quite a show.
Really is.
But it is usually people, heroin, booze, a lot of shooting up. And I have to tell you, I'm so amazed at the habits these people, I mean, just how many lines people can cross. Because, you know, it's one line to shoot up. It's another line to keep shooting up, to get addicted to heroin. And then, you know, the cost, it's $100 a day, it's $200 a day, it's $300 a day. Then you start crossing new lines, like stealing shit from your parents or your family or anybody or, I don't know, hawking stuff, hawking friends, jewelry. And then I'm amazed at how many of the chicks become prostitutes.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they really give you a good background on the show Intervention about what their childhood was like, what their teen years were like. And you see that these are really, a lot of them are very normal people. Drug addicts are not necessarily the dregs of society. I mean, that there's really no discrimination in terms of who that can hit.
Mm-hmm.
So you just find a lot of very regular, what would have been normal people from your high school who start becoming sugar mamas or whores, prostitutes, just for the drug habit.
My sister. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you were saying about stealing stuff, one time my mom got herself some new clothes, and my mom had gone back to the mall for whatever. Oh, no, they disappeared. My mom's new clothes disappeared. So she has a suspicion, goes back to the mall, and there's my sister with her boyfriend returning them.
Oh, God.
Another time, you know, when she disappears out of
What was her drug of choice?
Oh, she did a heroin, crack, you name it. So, one time, my mom comes home from whatever, and everything in the house is gone. Everything. Furniture, appliances.
What?
Everything.
Was this the last binge? The big binge?
It wasn't the last one. It was one of them. Yeah.
Did she get her stuff back?
No.
Oh, my God.
So you're right.
And you know, the amazing thing, too, is when somebody's hawking stuff for that next round of heroin or whatever, they could take a 3-year-old car and sell it for $100.
Mm-hmm. And then think, you know, when
you see a lot of equal value there.
When you come down and you're you feel bad, physically bad, and then you realize what you've done, there's nowhere to turn because you just ripped them off. Mm-hmm. You can't go home to sleep because there's no bed there.
Right.
But you're always welcome home. Mm. Oh. Well, anyway, Johnny Manziel. Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Manziel, my man.
Well, what's with the two chicks? That's...
Well, I will say this. He looks like he's having a fabulous time. I mean, this is not really... This story's not necessarily saying that, boy, it sure doesn't look like much fun to be doing what Johnny Manziel's doing, because it looks like a ball, man.
I'd do it for a year, dude.
This mansion, this place he's staying at, these pictures of him where he's just standing with his arms in the air, and he's on a cliff in Mexico with the ocean below him. Damn.
And two babes.
Two gorgeous women.
Yeah, help him. Talk to him. You know, just to talk him. Calm him down. Talk to him about life. And you know, the long view of things. No. Now they're getting hammered.
But I don't... I'm always the type that... We talked about this a little bit the other day. When you're AWOL and you're fucking off like he is, it takes a certain personality to just have a ball, to keep having fun. Because I'm always like, man, boy, I'm in so much trouble now. I can't do this. I can't rent this place. I got to get back, man. I'm already in deep shit. But apparently this guy has no conscience whatsoever.
You think he likes football?
Yeah, I think he did.
Not the game. I mean, the work of it.
I don't know if anybody likes that.
So, you know, he's probably just like, fuck it. Fuck it.
I just don't know how you could throw away what he had so easily. It just doesn't look like there's... But then, you know, you go back to Todd Marinovich, you know, the robo-quarterback.
Yep.
Whose father from the womb was determining what would go into his mother's body. And he reached his father's goal. It wasn't his goal. It was his father's goal that he became an NFL quarterback. And you know what? He just didn't give a shit. He threw it away.
Yep.
But Johnny Manziel... You know, that wasn't something where his parents said, you know, you will be an NFL quarterback. That was his thing. You know, he busted his ass to get there. He was a star at Texas A&M. He worked hard. He was a great, great, great player. I mean, he's a really unique talent. But, man,
his dad's got to be proud of him. I mean, you're a Texas oil man. Your son is big man on campus, Heisman Trophy. You know what I mean? Quarterback. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Right. I did everything. Daddy, give me some money.
Yeah, and Daddy did. Daddy gave him that Mercedes when he was afraid that Johnny was going to sign autographs illegally to get this Mercedes he wouldn't shut up about. So Dad, in order to avoid an NCAA violation, bought it for him himself. Which
ergo the problem.
Yeah, I know.
You know? But I don't think he has the body to be a great NFL quarterback anyway.
Probably not.
He's small. He doesn't have a big arm. You know,
he did show some ability in his first 2 years. He had some impressive moments, but less than you would want.
I mean, so did RG3, right? Who's now going to play for Cleveland? And
yeah,
he just doesn't hold up.
Well, RG3 a lot of injuries too.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, Johnny, it's never been about injuries with him though. It's just about his attitude.
Well, it hasn't been about injuries because the motherfucker hasn't been playing.
No, true. He hasn't played that much. But he has played some.
He's damaged his liver, is about all I can tell.
Yeah. Well, too bad. We were talking a little bit about some of the developments in Detroit. And I know, is it DTE? Did you see the DTE park?
The energy company, DTE Park?
Yeah. Aren't they putting a park up this week? There were two big stories. One was Paradise Valley.
And then the People's Park. Is that right? The one? Tell me, man.
Yeah, I think it's DTE that's ponying up for this big park, which is, you know, no big deal. It was just a park, but Paradise Valley was really the larger what got more attention, and I was bitching a little bit because the artist's conception of Paradise Valley didn't have any white people in it, and then you said that
nor does the development group.
Yeah, which now is that an issue? Did I stumble into something by accident?
I suppose it can possibly be an issue because, you know, that was city property sold over to an investment group, five groups. And there are no white people in the group, at least the front men, you know, and you can't have a development deal based on race. I mean, we can't do that in this country. So I asked it of one of Duggan's right-hand men, and he says, no. We're developing a historic, you know, African American area. So that's what's in the proposal. And I'm like, well, it's funny it worked out this way.
Huh?
But I do know some of the inside players. And, you know, they were trying to sort of go around the rules by doing something like that. I don't know if it's actually legal. But the worst point is we're losing money on it again. We gave it to them for a song.
What? Now explain it to me. This property was bought by the city?
Yeah, the majority of the, if you guys listening know downtown Detroit, you know where the Detroit Athletic Club and Tiger Stadium are. There's that nice little sort of triangular neighborhood right there. It's Harmony Park.
Harmony Park. Yeah. Yeah, I remember Harmony Park.
And the city bought up almost all of it starting in 2006 and put money into it as well for development, about $15 million. That was during the crash.
So, what did they get for the $50 million? Did they fix it up at all, or did they ready it for development, or what did they get for that money? Or did they just get the property?
They got the property, then you do stuff like pipes and, you know, okay, like right. Infrastructure.
Exactly.
And
that's what
roads and the park and stuff like that.
Okay.
So now that whole deal got sold for about $4.5 million. So we took a bath on it. And one of the buildings in Harmony Park.
Why did they pay? Who got the $15 million for something that was only worth $4 million? That's my first question.
You mean who got it for $4 million when it was worth $15 million? Who's in it?
Oh, it was worth $15 million and they only made him pay $4 million.
No, it's probably worth, I don't know what it's worth. $50 million? It's downtown Detroit now, at the height of a market, not at the bottom. Yeah. Is it worth 50, 60? We're not even going to know.
Well, I mean, isn't that a little intriguing that the city pays 15 for something and then sells it for 4?
Yeah, now, again, pays $15 million in the middle of a Great Depression, and right now everything's going gangbusters, right? And we're selling it for 4.
Hmm.
And the city's coming out of bankruptcy. Come the fuck on now.
Yeah, or just come on.
Right. Okay, come on. Yeah. But it's, again, it's hidden costs.
You know? Is anybody digging into that besides yourself?
Look, I'm going to go like this. I'm just telling you now, I'm not going to dig into everything that's screwed up.
That stinks, man. That's
a lot of things stink, and we've gone through it on this show, but I don't want to be a guy known as always shitting on things.
Yeah, I understand.
You could do it every day. Every day. Is the city generally working? Yes. Right? Are the police better than they were? Yes. Is the fire department better than they were? Yes. Are houses getting demolished? They are.
Well, now, I'm just dying to know if I thoroughly read this story, because I don't think I read anything about this discrepancy in what the city paid and what the city sold this property for. And now I'm wondering if it was even in the story, because it's really this remaking Detroit's Paradise Valley Jazz Club Arts Galleries aimed to evoke glory of iconic business district. And it's this really cool story, although I couldn't help noticing that, the artist rendering does not have anyone that looks like me in there. There's no white people.
Yeah, and it doesn't look really much different than what it is now.
Is Harmony Park, you mean?
Yeah.
By the way, Harmony Park wasn't that bad. What was wrong with Harmony Park?
Oh, they said it was a hellhole. I never remember it being that. I don't remember.
I didn't think it was either. I have not been there in a while. I will say that.
Well, now look, I'm looking at the article here. It says go to 5A. So there's two paragraphs. Did you go to 5A?
I did. I just don't remember, and I don't think I have 5A here. Oh, wait, maybe I do.
Maybe it says something at the bottom.
That's something I would have recorded, you know, that the city lost $11 million on the thing. I would have remembered that.
With the promise of future investment. Like one guy, he owns a cigar bar down there, right? And they're having him talk. And he says, together, the city and I, over the years as I've been renting from the city, have put in $1 million, right, to fix this building.
The city and I.
Yeah, and you know what he bought it for?
What?
$1 million. So it's at least got to be worth $1 million.
Sure.
So it's probably, look, had I known, I'll bid $1.5 million or $2 million or yeah. $3 million because it's right next to the Detroit Athletic Club.
Pretty prime property.
If you've got a really good arm,
prime property.
You can hit the fence at Tiger Stadium
right.
from there.
Yeah. No, that's, that's right center field. Right center field out of the park.
That's right. Yep.
Not bad. Did you go to the fireworks?
Downtown?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No. I got a kid.
What does that mean?
I'm not looking for trouble, dude.
You'd rather take her to another fireworks display? Are you guys going to fireworks? You said you didn't go as a kid. Do you take her?
Look, you know, if I can see them from where I'm standing, I'm going to them.
Okay.
I'm not packing up the car and sitting in the field.
You take the blanket out and the picnic basket?
Mosquitoes. I'm sounding like a New Yorker now, don't I? The mosquitoes. They're mosquitoes already. The crowds. I don't like the crowds.
You lived there for a while.
I did.
Well, you know, when I was in West Bloomfield, I swear I could walk off the balcony off our bedroom, and I could see fireworks from like 3 different places. It was great.
I'll go to those.
Yeah.
I'll go to the balcony if I can see the fireworks.
Okay. I dig it.
Are you going?
No. Hell no.
Did you go?
I went as a kid a few times, but no, no. I think we went to a few when the kids were young. Yeah, we did. When the kids were younger, we went.
Well, I'm going to go up north and in one of the.
Oh, are you off to the thumb?
Yeah, and one of the beach towns has them. So now that I do have a kid, I'm sure I'll go.
You've got a neighbor up there, by the way, who listens to the podcast. Somebody emailed in and said, "My house is a few houses over from where Charlie spends." Yes. So, I don't know. Is that a high-rent district up there?
No. That's what's great about it.
Okay.
Just really normal.
Here's the DTE Park, by the way. Jay printed off some. I'm looking to see if there's any white people in these pictures. Oh, yeah. There's a white person. There's a few white people. What do you know? Well.
Can't wait for this.
And no big deal. Just a park.
West side of downtown Detroit.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure exactly where that was.
We'll soon see one derelict lot transformed into an oasis of green space, aiming to mirror the thriving scene at Campus Marshes. Where's the vacant lot? Who owns the vacant lot?
Yeah, I had a few questions about that myself.
I find it interesting. You can also, you know, you've been down to Campus March. They shut the streets down.
Mm-hmm.
So they can roll basketball nets. Like, who says you get to block a public street off?
Wait, to play basketball?
They got basketball nets up there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When do they do that?
Whenever they want to, I guess.
Really?
It happens fall, summer.
Well, I just have to say, you know, it is amazing how often I pick up, and it used to always be front page news when there was a new development in Detroit. Now it's almost relegated to the business section because it happens so often. But, I mean, there's something new, somebody putting money into something. It seems like every week there's something.
Yeah. It's like, that's good.
Yeah, it's great.
Development's good. Big business is good because it provides jobs, right?
Sure.
It's just how much you're taking from the public to achieve it.
Right.
You know what I mean? If the public's books, you know, the public coffer is empty, what company or what bank would have their accounts empty? You know, I don't know about subsidizing everything. If you've got a lot of money, do it. And what we should do, in my opinion as a person, is get the government out of the way so you can get it done. That's what the public policy should be. Not, here, man, take the public's tax money and go ahead and do it.
They had I guess it was Nolan Finley did this long.
Sure did.
Multiple page piece on Dan Gilbert.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
He couldn't pay for that.
You mean for the advertising?
Woo.
Did it strike you as almost free advertising?
Hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty positive.
Pretty nice.
For sure. And I don't know. I mean, the guy, I think Dan Gilbert's worthy of some copy. He has, I mean, he's bought, how many skyscrapers has he bought? 25 skyscrapers?
He's 70 parcels down there.
Jesus. I know somebody, you don't have to ooh this, I know somebody who knows Dan Gilbert.
That's not worth a new.
No. Anyway, he was telling me about a conversation that Dan Gilbert was allegedly having with somebody, and I'm just going to pretend that this didn't really happen, but I just thought it was so cool. If it possibly could have, I just liked it. And it was something where he was alleging that Dan Gilbert said to this person who was just sort of a friend, kind of a tertiary friend, almost like a, hey, you ever invest in skyscrapers? It's a great time to invest in skyscrapers. You know, like it's just normal to buy a skyscraper.
Yeah.
Like it's just nothing.
And which it's that
it
easy.
Is for him. It is nothing. You know, but he refurbishes these places. He completely redoes them. And, you know, he gets some people in there to spend their $1,600, $1,700 a month. Actually, some of the rents are a lot higher than that. I was looking at one building in the real estate section on Sunday. People were renting out. God, this thing was like 800 square feet, $2,500 to rent. And I think they had a view of Comerica Park or right around there. I mean, it looked pretty cool, actually. I mean, I was thinking, I could kind of dig that place.
Yeah, yeah. Not for that money.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's New York City money, dude.
Oh, come on. That's not quite New York City money.
800 square feet, $2,500? Sure.
You can get a place 800 square feet in New York for $2,500.
Remember, it's also Queens. You got Queens. You're not going to get it in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, or, you know, Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, Queens. Well, yeah. Because I watch Million Dollar Listing on Bravo, and I know a little about New York real estate.
What is 800 square feet going for, my man?
There was last night on Million Dollar Listing, they were selling, let's see, it was a 600 square foot condo for, it was like $1,055,000. Condo.
Where?
It was in a nice neighborhood. It was in Artist District.
New York?
Yeah.
Greenwich Village?
Nope.
Soho?
Oh God. No, it wasn't Soho. Oh shit.
Let's just keep doing that. Upper West Side. Fashion District.
You know, I could bring it up on TV and tell you exactly what it is, but we'll do it during a break. I'll bring it up and find out exactly. But I was like, 600 square feet for over $1 million? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, well, that's a condo, though, so you're owning it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what would the... Here's one for you, Mr. I Own Houses. What would the mortgage on that be?
The mortgage on that, let's see. $1,055,000? Well, I'm guessing it'd be, what, probably $8,000-$9,000 a month at least.
Jesus!
I'm thinking.
You'd be about right, probably.
I think, somewhere in that neighborhood. Because you figure if it's what, $150,000, it's going to be,
maybe
what, $1,200?
Maybe $6,000.
Yeah, maybe not quite that high.
Because interest is low.
For 600 square feet.
Just think of that, everybody listening. $6,000 a month of rent for a broom closet.
Yeah.
God.
Well, they were buying them. But actually, you know what? The guy couldn't sell all the units. He had, how many units did he have? He had like 40 units or something. He sold the first 25 and he had 16 left. So he goes to the $1 million listings about these three super stud realtors in New York. And he goes to one of them. His name's Ryan. He's like, yeah, I got 16 units left. And, you know, we sold the first 24, however many it was, you know, no problem. And we're just, these are not moving. So he's like, okay, they need to be remarketed, and they need to be restaged. And so, you know, they stage everything there. There's no empty apartments or no empty condos, and nothing's empty. They'll bring in the furniture, you know, that you rent the furniture and make it look like, you know, it's somebody's living there with this gorgeous furniture. And he throws these parties, and, you know, they'll bring in food and booze and all that, and they'll even have models. And it's amazing the money they spend, these realtors. It's incredible. And he gets offers for like four or five of them that he accepts. He's got a couple other offers. He's like, no, you can't get the full amount. No, fuck it. I'm not selling that. So he gets somebody to buy 10 of them. The guy says, I'm going to rent them out. You know, fuck you. You're fired. He rents out all 10 places. And then the realtor comes back and he says, I got somebody who will buy all 10 of them for $11,500,000. The guy's like, nope, won't do it, because the list is like, it was 13.7 or something, and he only comes with 11.5, so he says, I'll do it for 12.6, so he comes back with 12.4, so the guy buys them. They're all rented, so he's got some enormous rent coming in every month out of it. But, I mean, you talk about wheeling and dealing. Sometimes they have condos. They had a condo last week on there, and it was a nice condo. It was a penthouse, but $30 million. $30 million for a condo. I wonder what the monthly, you know, the fee, the
management fee. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and what do you get for those fees, by the way? I remember looking at a place in Birmingham, and honest to God, the monthly, you know, what's that fee called? Damn it. You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, it's like the
maintenance fee.
Yeah, the maintenance fees.
It was $1,300. And I was like, you know what? When you said that number, I kind of thought it was the mortgage or something. Yeah,
that is a mortgage.
$1,300, really? I'm out.
Where are these people? Who's out there? Are there this many rich people out there?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, there are.
You're a moron. Like, I'd rather live in Jersey and, you know, get a spread.
You know, I just don't think big enough. It's like, you know, I kind of grew up not exactly rich. I worked in small market radio for a while when I got out of college. So I just got the mentality of a poor person. And when somebody says $1,300 to pay for a doorman and a little workout room with a couple of, you know, a couple of bench presses and a, you know, a couple of things, one of the treadmills. I made $1,300 for that. I even if I had 10 times that amount of money, I couldn't justify it in my head. It's so stupid.
Think of that. I mean, and then there's a wino out front. There's nothing you can do about him. I'm paying what? Get accosted by the wino every time. No, there's no spare change, man. The maintenance fee's $1,300.
By the way, are you impressed by a doorman? Is it because, you know, if a doorman costs, if that's going to cost an extra $400 a month or something, I'll skip the doorman. I don't need anybody to open the door for me.
In New York, you want it.
Really?
Yeah,
why?
Because you don't want,
people
nutcases
wandering
building? In. Yeah, yeah, man. Okay. You know, it's New York. And I once wrote a story about one of these guys, and an adult man turned me on to him. He was retiring, but turns out the adult man used to be a boy in the 70s and 80s when all the divorces were going on. And the doorman becomes his dad. Taught him how to throw the ball. Taught him how to fight. You know, looked out for his mom. Helped his dad, the kid's dad, move his shit out of the building. I was like, oh, I never thought of it that way. In a concrete jungle. Like, that's your...
No,
man,
hell no.
Your man figure, your security figure.
Yeah, that's... well, that's got to be unique, though. I doubt that happens very often.
No, but that's the, you know, great thing about being a reporter is, like, you never think of shit like that. And it's like... I never really would have thought of it.
Hey, your girl in Highland Park, she ended up making her nut, didn't she?
$243,000, dude. The safe house, the Holbrook house for the kids is coming.
That is such a great story.
Isn't it?
Yeah. it's this gal, you know, she lost her one of her young children, and she's got a real affinity for kids, and she bought this place in Highland Park, and the next property next door was available, and she was able to get it real inexpensively, and she thought, what if I use this property for, you know, to build a playground for kids and to have a study area inside? And this was, I mean, it was a dream. But she starts this Kickstarter thing for $240,000.
I didn't think she was going to make it, dude.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, it's $250,000.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff that I see where people do get the money on Kickstarter, I'm like, really? This guy wanted Kickstarter money to get married in Vegas or something. And people start giving to it. I think people love frivolous shit. And then there's other stuff on there which is real well-meaning, where they don't even come close. I mean, not even within a mile of the amount they're asking for. But this was, very ambitious, $240,000. You know, she's building a tennis court for kids to play, and she's going to have those study rooms. And what else is she building on the outside?
There's going to be like...
Basketball court?
Yeah, there's going to be a market, you know, women's market. So, you know, those old, like, railroad cars, those boxes, those shipping containers? Those are going to be stores. They've already laid the concrete pads. Yeah.
Wow.
So there'll be, you know, fresh vegetables and other things, you know, artwork. So
what do those railway cars cost, by the way?
Just a couple grand.
No shit.
Yeah.
Do you watch DIY at all?
I've seen it.
Do you see them build those tiny houses? They're like 400 square feet.
I know what they are, but I didn't see that episode.
They're really cool. Yeah, they do. It's like a regular feature now. So many people apparently are buying these tiny houses. People are like, you know what? I can't afford to live this way. I just want 400 square feet that's very efficient, that I can easily move. I mean, it fits on the back of a trailer, and it's amazing. I mean, you can literally sit down with these people and sort of plan it out. But it's incredible what you can do with that kind of space if you're not frivolous. I don't think I could live that way. I mean, all I can think about is, how does the toilet work exactly? How do you empty the toilet? What's that part? How does that go? They never explain that.
That's all well and good until, like, the government gets in it. Eventually, they're going to be like, you can't have that. You're going to have plumbing and this pipe connection.
You do have to hook up to plumbing somehow.
I just opened my mail today, and I got a notification from my city saying you're going to have to put in railings.
Huh?
My house is like 100 years old. You're going to have to put in a rail. Like, oh, come on.
Wait, railings where?
Like on my front, because I've got four steps or more.
Oh, on your porch.
I'm like, oh, dude, the roads are fucked up. Why don't you busy yourself with the roads?
Who in the world drove around your neighborhood and said, we're going to have to go after these people who don't have railings when they have, I mean, you don't
You know
have-
what we need to do when the economy's tight and we can't get the roads fixed? We're going to just shit on people and say, put up a railing that doesn't even match your house.
Honest to God.
What the fuck does that mean?
What the fuck does that mean?
That is so stupid.
I'm getting pissed.
I mean, I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned by this.
And the roads are fucked up.
Yeah, the roads are completely fucked up. They're fucked up all over the place.
Thank you.
And you know what? What's the amazing thing is every time they ask people, would you mind being taxed more to fix the roads? They say, no, not at all. Please tax me. I want to fix the roads. I'm so sick of driving on Michigan's roads. And do they tax us? No. They say, oh, I can't do that. We're begging you. Please ask us for money. We'll give it to you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, dude. Oh, don't you say that, sir.
What?
Don't you say that.
What is so flipping hard about that?
I don't know, but that's why it burns your ass every time some level of government comes at you for something you weren't asking for.
No, I know, but here we're asking to be taxed for the roads. Nobody said anything about a fucking railing on their front porch.
Did you just say the F word?
Who cares?
Or they, you know, I got the freeway in my backyard, so you got one of those walls, you know, the sound wall?
Yeah, sure.
Tree fell on it a number of years ago, so it's cracked. It's starting to fall apart. Like, how about a little preventative maintenance here? Keep this wall, you know... That's more important than a railing on my house. They keep coming and ask for my vote. Oh, we're going to see to that. Never gets done.
It's still sitting there?
Still sitting there.
How long?
5, 6, 7 years.
Oh, boy.
And there's money for that. There's a government, a state fund. Like, busy yourself and get it fixed. The fuck is this railing?
Have you had an inkling to do it yourself?
The wall?
Yeah.
No, but back there in the park, I used to go up there and cut the trees. I used to go up there with a chainsaw and cut the trees.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, they're hanging over their picnic tables, they're breaking, and I'm like, they're not doing anything, I'll do it myself.
Is the wall bowing, by the way, from the tree?
No, but one of the tree limbs during one of those big winds fell on it and cracked it. Now, each winter, the water gets in there, it freezes, it takes the mortar out. Oh, how long are we going to live with this here?
Yeah.
Fuck you with the rail. Just fuck you with the rail.
Well, you know, I'm just wondering.
Fuck you with the rail.
Are people...
We're going to court!
Are people falling off... Are people falling off steps at some astronomical pace that I'm not aware of? Like, you would not believe how many heads are being cracked open because there are no railings.
I believe the mail carrier and I have a good relationship. I don't think they're ratting me out.
Well, it obviously it's not just you. Is it epidemic on your street?
I did go driving around the neighborhood today. There are going to be a lot of railings that don't fit the architecture.
Oh, they're demanding a certain kind of railing.
I don't know. Yeah, probably, right? Yeah. They're going to put it in, and it's not the spec.
Mm-hmm. No, I suspect they'll want wrought iron or something like that, right?
I don't know. Fix the roads.
Yeah, exactly.
Fix the school.
When are they going to fix the roads? Is that ever going to happen?
Drew for president.
I mean,
no.
Honest to God.
Drew for governor. No, Drew for road committee. No.
Hey, don't put me in charge of this, because I know I'll never get it done if nobody else can get it done.
But I'm looking at you right now. You really know how to shuffle paper.
Yeah, it's funny. Charlie, you come in here, you got no paper in front of you whatsoever. I think it's just a comfort thing. I like having lots of stuff in front of me. It jogs my mind, jogs my memory. Because I don't really, you know, it's funny. I highlight stories too, but I never really read the highlighting. I just sort of, I think it helps me memorize it. And so I don't know what the point of the exercise is other than, It helps just ingrain it a little bit further.
Well, that's why people are actually barbecuing right now, a day or two since I'm saying this, just vibing with you because you come prepped. And congratulations on your number 30-something across United States of America.
Amen.
In podcasts.
Yes.
And you know who's right behind you? 105.1 Hip Hop.
Bounce 105.1.
The Bounce.
Can I say it?
The Bounce?
Whoever that dude was, fuck you, man. Put that on your resume.
Yeah, we're number 37. We're number 37. Woo! But we try harder. We've been number 32. We were number 32 at some point last
night. Go ahead, give some people you've passed.
Adam Carolla. Doug Stanhope. Artie Lang. I mean, those are people.
Huge.
I envy them. They're fantastic. They've had podcasts for a long time. And we're right there with them. And there's a whole bunch of other ones, too. But, you know, for some reason, we can't crawl into the 20s. What do we have to do to get in the 20s, damn it? There's some...
65?
There's just a wall at 29.
I think we should conduct a Harris poll.
That might help.
See,
absolutely.
See if they're listening. We get the Harrises to listen.
We do need to call Flint again because, you know, there's a story about Flint water almost every day, and I always think, it looks like it's time for another Harris poll, so maybe we'll do one of those next week.
Dude, I nailed that, though.
Oh, yeah.
You see what's going down now?
In Flint?
Yeah, I did a story on the company that was supposed to get the water plant up to speed. Attorney General is suing them. I go knock on the emergency manager's door. Hey, dude, you made the decision? The company that's getting sued puts on their website, hey, he told us not to bother. So, yeah.
He told us not to bother?
That's what the company's alleging. Told us not to do the minimum that's required.
Well... That may not go over so well.
I smell invoking my Fifth Amendment privilege. Not good, man.
You know, the thing that's really upsetting about Flint, though, and...
May I tell you what's
sure.
really upsetting about Flint?
Yeah.
The lack of appropriate railings on your fucking porch. How am I supposed to carry a case of water up there in the cold without a railing?
Emergency rooms are loaded with people. Falling sideways because there's no railing, because there's so many people with vertigo. Every time they go upstairs, they just fall right off the side. They crack their head open, and the emergency rooms are being overrun by these people.
What happened?
There's a rhyme. There's a reason for this rhyme, or a rhyme for this reason. But anyway, Flint, the governor, at the very beginning said, let's just get this fixed. Let's not worry about whose fault it is, which is, you know, easy for him to say.
Yeah.
But let's just get it done. Let's make it right. And it's everything but that. Ever since then, everything but that. Nothing is getting right. Okay, with the filtered water, I guess you can drink it. But they are so far from being finished with this. I mean, is there even enough in place to get the whole thing done? No.
And when will it get done? I don't know.
I'm thinking we're years away.
We are years away. They should just say it. Because if you don't say it, frustration builds, right?
And these people, they can't really move, can they?
No. No, of course not. I guess you can. You know, in America, you're free to move, but how by many what people, by what means?
Yeah, and how many people are looking to move into Flint? What do you know about Flint? Oh, their water is terrible.
Oh, and a lot of murder. Like that. I can't get 15 grand for my house. Remember him?
Yes. Oh, man. You know, it's so sad. I mean, I laugh, but...
It was Mr. Harris.
So yeah, it was absolutely Mr. Harris. They're all Mr. Harris. It's so pathetic. You can't get 15 grand for your house. And the one guy said, what did he bought it for? He bought it for 100 grand or something? And
right.
What? I mean, what do you do? I mean, it's happened to a lot of people here, too, and they're landlocked. They're stuck. They'll never leave. People in Detroit, in those neighborhoods, the people that never get helped, no matter how much you put in the city, those are the neighborhoods that never get help. And they never will.
That's why it's important to at least get your investment back when you're selling Harmony Park. You know, there's $10 million. We can cut the trees down or something.
Yeah, that's... Oh, interesting. I'm going to go back and look at that article if I can find it. I don't think there was anything about that in the entire story, and that seems, it just seems remiss to me. But anyway, Charlie's going to be on the inside of some fires here in a little bit. You and Maddie?
Yep. Get a little nervous. Got to work all night tonight.
Really? You're working that late?
Yeah.
And when will this air on Fox 2?
Tuesday. We'll see what the holiday weekend did, and you know, we'll give you like a really sort of from the heart, from the working man, just a sights and sounds kind of deal.
What else are you working on?
What am I working on? Well, I got to do all that convention stuff. You know,
right.
That season's coming.
But you're flying to L.A. soon, aren't you?
Well, we'll see. We'll see if there's a reason to. You know what
okay,
I mean?
That's not for sure.
Always juggling stuff.
Last week, Trudy mentioned that guy that threw that 13-year-old in the Clinton River. And we were somewhat fascinated by this. Like, why did this 48-year-old just walk up to this 13-year-old girl and throw her into the Clinton River? And she hit her head, and it was a big flipping hassle and all that. Anyway, it turns out it was bullshit. She made it up. This guy who was also drunk, and when I saw the picture, Charlie, would you think he was guilty if you read man throws 13-year-old girl into water?
I would think he's guilty of bombing the British Parliament. Look at that guy.
Well, exactly. I saw that picture and I was like, oh, guilty as charged. Man, what an asshole. Well, it turns out she lied. She made it up.
She was
10? She lied to my face.
Yeah.
She was 10.
She was 13.
13?
Yeah. Wait a second. Maybe she wasn't.
She lied about her age, too. 9.
She did lie. Yeah. 9-year-old girl lied about being grabbed by a string. Why'd she lie about her age?
A 9-year-old?
And why wouldn't she be able to tell that she was 9 if she said she was 13?
It says somewhere in there that she was pissed that she was walking with her brother, lost an earring, was all irate about it, and apparently that just throws her lie machine in a full swing, apparently.
So she threw herself into the water and said, I'm blaming that guy. I mean, that story makes no sense. A 9-year-old girl lied about being grabbed by a stranger and thrown into the Clinton River along a boardwalk in Mount Clemens. And Sam of the office said the girl and her 14-year-old stepbrother had fabricated the story about the June 22nd incident. Investigators said they had an independent witness who gave a different story. Learned that the girl had actually been swimming in the river when the man she said grabbed her actually fell into the water by accident. The man hit her as he fell. She lost an earring and she was angry. Okay, so she's pissed at the guy because she lost an earring.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, let's back up a little bit. Go read that last paragraph again. Well, as to what happened. Let's dissect this piece by piece.
This is really something, isn't
okay,
it?
Okay, let's just phrase by phrase. Okay.
The office said the girl and her 14-year-old stepbrother had fabricated the story about the June 22nd incident.
Her 14-year-old stepbrother, they're going to get down and fabricate a story.
Yeah.
Okay, got an idea. Let's fabricate this story based on the next facts.
Investigators said they had an independent witness who gave a different story and re-interviewed the family to learn that the girl had actually been swimming in the river when the man she said grabbed her actually fell into the water by accident.
Okay, hold on. So she's done swimming. They're up walking around a bridge or something?
No, I think she's still in the water when this turd falls in.
The turd fell. The IRA bomber here.
Yes.
It's so loaded. He just falls into the river.
He just falls into the river.
It happens every day up there in Mount Clemens.
And he hits her, apparently, and knocks her earring loose.
Just so happens to be 3 feet away from the girl. As he falls in, he's flailing and knocks an earring from her ear.
He flails the earring out of her ear. Okay. The man hit her as he fell.
Okay.
She lost an earring, and she was angry.
So angry. Okay, now.
This is like a hot-headed 9-year-old. I mean,
so angry, she turns to her 14-year-old brother and goes,
let's frame this guy.
Yeah. Threw me in, right?
A total and self-serving lie.
Yeah, they'll never, of course they'll believe us.
See, Trump's making more and more sense to me.
What? That's really weird to me that a 9-year-old would be so diabolical.
Weird. Now, let's go back to the back. Police interviewed a witness.
Yes, the independent witness.
Didn't the police interview the independent witness the first time around?
Apparently not. Maybe not.
How did they find said independent witness?
Well, they probably, because this 9-year-old and this 14-year-old looked, you know, they're young, they look so innocent, and...
How old is this kid?
13. Sure, 9.
They just thought they were so believable, they didn't need to talk to the independent witness.
So the independent witness sees the news reports.
Maybe.
Is aghast and says, I remember a drunken IRA bomber flailing to the Clinton. It couldn't have been that, could it?
Yeah, that angry 9-year-old upset about her earring, so she framed that guy. And he looked like he could have done much worse. So, yeah, this guy, he didn't have a chance. I mean, once the cops saw him, it was like, no way, he's done.
Well, we kidding, once you saw him.
No, I still think he did it. I want another independent witness to come forward and say that he did throw this chick in the water. Because I'm having a hard time changing my mind about this.
Was his name Goober?
They don't give the guy's name.
Remember it, Jay?
He's just a 48-year-old Mount Clemens man.
Might laughing well at his name before. Goober, Gruber.
Oh, did he have a goofy name? Yeah, I don't remember. Well, what a shame.
I feel bad for the man.
Yeah, it was terrible.
No.
Terrible.
It was Frank Smoger, S-M-O.
Smoger.
Oh, Smoger, that's right. Yeah, yeah, Smoger. Heavy Smoger.
Smoger the Ogre, yeah.
Good memory, man.
So they ought to put that kid and her stepbrother and the parents in front of that judge. That, you know, demanded that the kids go to a halfway house because they won't go see their dad.
Yeah, kick their ass. Do something to those brats.
That's not good. You're breaking one of the cardinal commandments, bearing false witness.
Wow, nice job, Charlie.
Thank you.
Bearing false witness. See, that's the one commandment I would never remember.
Really?
Bearing false witness.
Don't lie on people.
But it's not, I mean, it's really not the sexiest commandment, is it, bearing false witness? You know, thou shalt not murder, of course.
That's a pretty good one.
Thou
stealing.
Shalt not fuck your neighbor's wife.
Yep. Take your neighbor's stuff. Dream of taking your neighbor's stuff.
Dream of? Really?
Coveting.
Ah, oh, coveting.
Let's see, what are they?
Yeah.
I'm your God, there's no other God. Right? You shall keep the Sabbath holy. You shall honor your mother and father.
Amen.
You shall not worship craven images. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet belongings. There's belongings and wife.
Don't you be coveting. Got murder in there, right?
Yeah.
Steal.
You should not
bang your neighbor.
You did that one. Signed a long-term contract with 105.1.
Yeah, there you go. That's good enough.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, why don't we take a time out, and we'll wrap on the other side, and we'll get Charlie off to be in the middle of fires with his GoPro and his camera guy.
And for God's sakes, keep your kids a distance from the fireworks.
Yeah. I haven't heard of any incidents yet this year, but there's always something.
They're going to be, yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. You know, somebody, an M80, kind of just, it looks like it's a bad fuse or something, and they go up and they examine it, and boom! Or, you know, they can't decide who to throw it at. When that fuse is going, I just want to get rid of that thing immediately. I mean, not a second. I can't have that thing in my hand for even a second. I got to get rid of it.
You actually light it when it's in your hand?
I have, if it's longer fused, yes.
Oh, there's a caveat. I prefer the longer fuses. Short ones, you won't catch me within 20 yards of those.
No, sir.
Do they still sell M80s?
I don't know. I have, well, you know, ever since fireworks are legal in Michigan, I have not been to the fireworks stores. You know, they're pretty much temporary. just up for 2 weeks. I think they, I bet you they got M80s, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, out of state. You can go, most people go right down to Indiana. You know, I mean, because you got firework stores right on the other side that their states have the laws where you can use stuff that we can't have here, kind of thing. So people just go right down out of state to get them.
And
you
guns.
You can get M80s.
And guns, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we'll be back with Charlie from Fox 2 Detroit right after these words, these musical words. I woke up so early this morning, I'm kind of really had trouble waking up after we got done with Lenny Dykstra. And there is a Lenny Dykstra interview available if you missed it that we podcasted today, Mark and I, before Charlie came in. And Lenny Dykstra, man, he is just gold. This book is a page turner, tough to put down. What a crazy-ass life this guy. And you've kind of crossed paths with Lenny, didn't you? Were you a Mets fan?
I pretended I was.
You did?
Yeah. Not when he was there. Yeah, I loved them from up. They were crazy, those guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a crazy team, that 86 Mets team.
Coke and booze and hookers, yeah.
He claims the Phillies were wilder in 93. Mm. And the reason he says it is because he was the leader, whereas in 86 he was a young player kind of following the older partiers. By 93, he was a veteran party animal, and so he led them to places that the younger guys had never been in his Mets days. But anyway, that's a podcast worth listening to, and I can't wait to finish that book, too, House of Nails.
But you know what you said to set that up?
Just how burnt I was.
Yeah, you said I had trouble getting up after I interviewed Lenny Dykstra.
I did.
So you were interviewing him while you were asleep?
I couldn't stop crashing after we talked to Lenny. I got up at 7:30, and I was like, you know, boning up on Lenny, and then we got done with Lenny, and then it was like, I was just burned. I was having trouble waking up, and then when you finally got here and you put some life into me, but I'm just sucking it up, man.
Sounds like you need a cup of cold coffee, like he told us.
Yeah. Lenny said when he wants to get rid of somebody, he offers him coffee and then gives him cold coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of good.
I thought it was cool.
I'll tell you a story about my buddy. Maybe I did. I don't know. But he was brought a chick back to his apartment in L.A. and he banged her. And she was like getting comfortable in the morning.
Uh-oh.
So he turned on his printer, the old school. He's like, I got a lot of work to do. You're going to have to go. He could have just given her cold coffee.
Oh, boy. But Lenny's got he's got a lot of classics. You know, his the thing that I think I tried to adopt from Lenny, I only really tried it once when we talked to that 96-year-old guy. And this is from somebody else who wrote a book on Lenny. He was sort of being critical. I thought it was funny because Lenny would talk to, you know, he was big in the investing world. And when he was talking to this one guy who was 86 years old, he was an investment girl, probably like a Warren Buffett type. He kept calling him bro and dude. So I thought that was so funny when we talked to Mr. Heimlich, the 96-year-old creator of the Heimlich maneuver. I called him bro a few times, and I think it kind of worked. I kind of was digging it.
Yeah,
I think Lenny's onto something there.
Yeah, but then Lenny lost all his money in the investment business.
Yeah, he did. He did. Well, the recession hit, you know, 2008, 2009. Who didn't lose all their money? My God. He still claims he's 575-1 on stock tips. He's given 575 tips that have been good. The stock has gone up, and one where the stock has gone down.
What's the one?
I don't know. I don't know.
Enron.
That seems, I don't know. He got Cramer with him, the guy from MSNBC or CNBC.
Yeah,
Cramer
but
was his guy.
I lost all respect. Don't believe anything Kramer's got to say anymore ever since he goes on to Jon Stewart and cries and is apologizing.
Oh, that was pathetic.
So it makes me wonder, you know?
Why was Jon Stewart? Oh, because they didn't predict the debacle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And of course, you could say nobody predicted the debacle, my friend. No. But he's crying instead. So what's that tell you?
I didn't really understand why that was CNBC's fault. I mean, how many people have predicted? I mean, there's always a few people who, if you go back in time, you'll find that somebody along the line did say, boy, I see some really funky things coming up for stocks, you know, in the months ahead. But, you know, they have somebody on every day that says they're going up, they're going down.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that, you know, the second book I wrote, it came out in 2006.
Woo!
Yep. No, you don't get to go woo because I actually did it.
Woo!
Thank you.
Yeah, you did it, and you're pointing it out.
That was the height of it. And I was writing then, man, something's not right, you know.
What year was that?
2006. That we're just drowning in debt, but somehow times were good. Something wasn't right out there.
Well, the valuations were a little crazy.
A little crazy.
And the debt, yeah, the debt.
It's crushing, man. And I don't think we're out of it. I just think we pushed it off for another day.
Are you saying that you correctly predicted the recession of 2008, 2009?
Yeah.
All right.
I think another one's coming.
You're predicting it now.
Yeah, I think the market's bloated. I think money's artificially cheap. I don't think the fundamentals are there where people are able to buy things or afford things or sock money away. Wages haven't gone up. But the Fed has pumped a lot of money into the banks, and they pump a lot of that money into the market. I don't see the fundamentals.
When is your recession coming? What year?
Well, if I'd be Lenny Dykstra if I could do that. You know what I mean? Then I'd have a company. I don't want. I'd say within 3 to 4 years.
Okay. I have a hard time predicting in 3 and 4 years. That's ballsy of you, Charlie.
Why would I say 3 to 4 years?
Well, because we won't remember it in 3 or 4 years.
Well, I would say because why don't the big three stocks go up? That's a question. Why are they stuck? Well, because they're engaged in their own almost 0% financing again. There's another subprime bubble in the used car market. The second biggest investment an American will ever make is in a car. One's your home, and now it's the car. So there's a huge bubble about ready to bust there. So the Fed's got to keep interest rates low.
Well, you know, since interest rates have been low, though, hasn't that been a good thing for the most part? I mean, we sure as hell don't want 17%, 16%, even 10, 11%. I mean, just it's so expensive to do anything.
Yeah, but, you know, you still can't get credit. A lot of people can't get credit, so it's keeping things artificially cheap. If you can't afford it, then the price should go down. Not we should make money more accessible to you so you're able to afford it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm following you.
All right, sorry.
Okay, so I got to get out of the market in 2019 or 2020. Will you please tell me when we're within a year of this?
I will.
Okay, thank you. You know, more hot teachers caught having sex with their 15, 16-year-old students. What the fuck is going on? What is this? This never happened when I was a kid.
Not to you.
No. I don't know anyone this happened to. Oh, did you have some hot teacher come on to you when you were 14?
No.
No?
Didn't happen to me either. I'm listening rapidly.
Did you have, did you have a hot teacher you would have kind of dug? Didn't everybody?
No, I don't remember
no,
one.
No, didn't?
I really don't. Do you?
Yeah, I had a couple. Yeah. I did. An English teacher in high school was really hot.
What's her name?
Oh, Jay?
French teacher, high school.
What are the names? Look them up, Facebook.
Miss Thompson. But you know what? She was a, what do you call it? A teaching assistant. She was only there a short time.
Yeah.
I think. And I can't remember my college teacher. She was a marketing teacher. Oh, shit. Wow.
And then he started coming on to me.
Yeah. This is my man. Did we get Monday Night Football?
We've got some. We still got to clean them up. But yeah, we're getting them.
Can you even play one? Is there anything we can play from Gacy?
If you can give me a minute. Give me a minute. I'll get it for you.
I'm sorry. I haven't heard Gacy in a long time. Well, John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah. Let me give you what I...
Does grass make you horny? Get on your knees and get on it.
It's not a love affair. The object is that you're both getting your runs on.
How many shows have John Wayne Gacy drops? Come on. You
they wanted
blown
to go down on me.
That one again, please.
They wanted to go down on me. Why do you like going down on me? You know how the subject with guys.
Uh-huh. Gacy thinks he's so hot. I mean, honest to God, he thinks everybody wants to go down on him. It's unbelievable. What's up with that? I mean, I cannot think of a less attractive guy on the planet than John Wayne Gacy. He's busted for killing 33 people and shoving them in crawl spaces, and that's him in prison talking about how hot he is. They wanted to go down on me.
Just, I want to make that clear.
Why do you want to go down on me?
I don't belong in here. I just want to make that clear. They wanted to go down on me.
Why do you like going down on me?
I mean,
they wanted to go down on me.
Who could he possibly be talking about? You know how that dude. He's repulsive.
All he can come back with is, uh-huh.
Oh,
you
Jason.
Know how the subject with guys. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Jason. Absolutely.
What serial killer really captures your imagination the most?
Dahmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dom's is butt number one, I think.
Would you like, are you the kind of guy that would buy his, say, cutlery at auction? Like a fork?
I don't think I'm that macabre, but I'll read anything. And I don't know why that was so interesting to me, but I guess it's because, you know, when you read about what was going on in the apartment, the head and genitals collection he kept in the fish tank. I mean, that was so out there. It's like, that guy's really twisted. And then everything led to it, too. His childhood, he was killing animals. I mean, he was like the textbook serial killer. Mm. And then that Laotian kid that he was trying to... Oh, boy, this is really weird. He was trying to turn this kid into a zombie, and he drilled a hole in his head, and... God. I forgot.
What did he stuff in there?
I think he completely disabled the guy, basically, except that he could have sex. That was about all the guy could do. He couldn't talk. He was completely out of it.
So he was able to turn him into a zombie.
Yeah, he kind of turned him into a zombie. But the guy did try to run away at some point and was running nude down the street, and these Milwaukee cops stopped him, a nude 14 Laotian boy. And then here comes Dahmer, and Dahmer's like, oh, my God, this is my friend. He's an idiot. He's drunk. You know, let me take him back. I'm sorry. And the cops gave him to Gacy or to Dahmer to take back to his apartment.
Yep.
The cops said, oh, some crazy foreigner running around nude. Jesus, what are we going to do about these people? Thank you, Mr. Dahmer.
And you know how Lenny Dykstra gets rid of people? Serves him cheesecake and says, you know whose fork that was?
That's brilliant. Oh, man. Fifth grade teacher, 26, touched her 13-year-old student's genitals, exchanged nude photographs and texts. Boy, how old did this 13-year-old appear to be, lady? Former elementary school teacher accused of touching her student's genitals, exchanged... Victoria Mangus Lewis, fifth grade teacher, has resigned after she was charged with two counts of indecent or lewd acts with a child under 16. I don't know. Fifth grader, I can't even relate to this remotely. It's, you know, maybe a junior in high school would be kind of interesting. Sorry.
God, it's windy.
I don't know why I brought that up. How about this one? Married female teacher, 33, had sex with 15-year-old girl at her... Oh, it's a lesbo thing. For 7 months. Well, she's kind of... I mean, as far as teachers go, there's some hot teachers that are fucking up doing stuff like this. Look at that. That teacher's not bad looking.
Yeah, wearing her hair in a bun for a mugshot. I like it. I like it.
I don't know what that's all about.
It's kind of puckish.
Anyway, all the action took place at the teacher's house. She's read June 15th. Staff at the school observed what they consider to be inappropriate behavior during Mitchell and the student during a class trip. What, in the back of the bus, getting it on? Mitchell posted $150,000 bail, was told she could not contact the girl, but the married teacher, oh my God, she's married, was arrested again just a month later on contempt of court charges after she allegedly violated her bail condition and contacted the victim. Wow, she could not get enough. Prosecutor said the girl received two telephone calls from a restricted number as well as a one-word text message in which the sender used Mitchell's pet name for the girl. Whoa. Then discovered Mitchell had researched how to restrict her number while making a phone call and had downloaded an application that would allow her to do so. Well, sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. When people want to get it on.
Hello, Puddin.
I'd just like to say the two of you get it on.
Mitchell also searched for the girl's phone number. The girl did not answer either the phone calls or the text message. Ooh, that must have been crushing.
She wanted to go down on me.
See, now this girl, I bet she wouldn't even be as arrogant as Gacy, and she's a good-looking girl. Human traffickers are hailing Uber rides to take migrants over the U.S.-Mexico border. Uber.
International Uber.
How about that? How cool is that?
Wow, that saves... thousands for a coyote,
doesn't it?
Do they have like snacks in the trunk?
Probably. Lots of water, cold drinks.
Here, crawl up in the spare tire. It's going to be nice.
Oh my God. I don't know why. I pictured like two Mexicans in the back seat, you know, with this Uber driver. No,
they're strapped to the exhaust pipe.
Five vehicles carrying 34 Central American migrants were apprehended while traveling together between northern Mexican states of Zacatecas and Coahuila, said Sigmundo Duguin, a Coahuila state official at the National Migration Institute. I'm sure I got all that right. Four of the vehicles were linked to Uber Technologies Incorporated platform, but it was unclear whether the human smugglers had hailed the drivers using the Uber app. The drivers said they weren't the owners of the cars, but worked as Uber chauffeurs. Four vehicles stopped by Mexican officials on the Texas border, carrying migrants from Central America, were linked to Uber Tech. There's been a sharp rise in the number of Central American children and families trying to reach the U.S. this year via Uber. Wow.
Wow.
How cool is that?
What is an Uber ride from, say... Chiapas to, you know, Juarez. A couple pesos.
It's got to be a lot of dough, man.
That's fascinating.
They mentioned, let's see. The migrants told investigators they each paid 3,000 pesos, $162, to make the journey.
Time out. A taxi ride across Mexico is $162.
Across the whole country?
I'm assuming by that, that's pretty, I'm doing that.
That's a pretty good deal.
I'm doing that.
Well, look on the map, the distance between the two places. I mean, that's significant.
Zacatecas, that's a... yeah, dude, that's... So you're basically going to... Wouldn't be quite El Paso. But yeah, you're going from... That is a good, I would say, 1,000 miles.
For $162?
Sweetness, right?
That's like a 14-hour drive.
Dude, why would you like want to travel around Mexico in one of those buses?
Yeah, when you can take an Uber?
Uber.
For that kind of money? Damn.
Stop and see El Chapo.
El Chapo.
Yeah, Sean Penn took Uber to see El Chapo.
How does El Chapo get these chicks?
Because he's the man.
But he's a slug. He's an ugly dude. I mean, he's uglier than Gacy, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but more handsome than Phil Spector.
I don't know. He's pretty homely looking. He really is. Any luck on the Gacy long form? I mean, if you can find it. I'm so Gacy deprived. I haven't heard any of the Gacy things. I know we don't have Monday Night Football, do we?
I think so.
Oh, oh my God. What a way to wrap the show, Charlie.
Okay, okay. I have no idea what's going on here, but stay tuned. Somebody, hey, somebody, the burgers are burning. We'll be back with the Gacy drop.
You haven't heard the Gacy story about Monday Night Football?
Yeah, but don't tell me
oh.
till I hear it.
Oh, my God.
They want to go down on me.
Yep, they want to go down on him. Everyone want to go down on Gacy. He was hot, man. Okay, he was about 75 pounds overweight. He was ugly. He was aging very poorly. He had white hair. He had really ruddy skin. There was really nothing attractive at all about him. He was extremely creepy. And when his eyes got black, you know, when he was about to really do something horrible, he was a pretty unattractive man. But, I mean, there's something, someone for everyone, right?
He had a cool name.
Hey, well, three names. I mean, he's got kind of an executive-sounding name.
John Wayne, dude.
Yeah, John Wayne.
People love John Wayne.
Oh, you know, was he named after John Wayne? I never even thought about that.
I would think he'd have to be, right?
Was John Wayne Bobbitt named after John Wayne?
He'd have to be.
You think?
This guy was,
otherwise, why would you use him?
Oh, he was about 2 or 3 years younger than me. He was married. His wife was about to have a baby. So every Monday night, we used to watch the NFL Monday Night Football. So anyhow.
Sweet.
He was married, and I'm married, and my wife used to go over to his house all the time. So on Monday night, he used to come over, and we would be in the rec room watching television. And he, you know how the subject, with guys, get on the sex, and he says he's not getting none, and she won't go down on him, and all this and that. And I said, well, why the hell don't you go find something else? You know. And then he started coming on to me. And it's the strangest because I would have never thought of him being my, you know, I had already been that way, and I never thought he was. But he was talking about how horny he was, and he ended up going down on me. And then each week it progressed to more and more stuff.
Oh, come on.
For the whole season, the whole NFL season.
What a wonderful season.
He liked to be submissive.
Yeah.
And yet here's a guy that, you know, he had one kid, and his wife was getting ready to have the second kid. He was an insurance man. But it wasn't about bodies. He was just the sensation of getting off. And that's what I was trying to tell you. Because I asked this guy, I says, why do you like going down on me? He says, I don't know. He says, it's not so much as he says, it's when I get you off.
Yeah.
Feeling the power that I feel.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
And then he got more, you know, each week, come over, we'd have our beer, watch the football game, and every one of them ended up doing the same thing.
Yeah.
God, I'm numb.
Wow.
What? I see what you're saying.
What's this I know.
Guy, this guy's wrapped.
That's Jason. That's the guy who wrote, this guy wrote a book on serial killers, and what he did was he would present himself as, like, the ideal victim for that person he was contacting. Like, in Gacy's case, he'd say, yeah, I'm, like, 17 years old, I ran away from home, and, you know, I really don't know what to do, so I thought I'd contact you and see how you're doing. And, of course, you know, sends a picture of himself, and I think he sent a picture of another guy that looked like he thought the kind of guy Gacy's type. And then, you know, the communication starts. And next thing you know, Gacy's calling him, and he records the calls. And, of course, he always encouraged him. That's why he says, oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, he agrees with everything he says. Even the creepiest stuff he says, like, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what's creepiest about that, beyond the obvious, is the buzz, the room tone. It sounds like it's like Frankenstein's laboratory. Like electric cables running through the room.
But, of course, everyone wants to get it on with Gacy. The guards want to get it on with him. I mean, it's amazing. And he eventually met Gacy at the prison. And Gacy had completely ran the place. He was totally in charge. They even turned the cameras away when Gacy was meeting with his friends and stuff, with his buddies.
They wanted to go down on me.
Yeah, they did. Charlie is going to be mid-fire pretty soon here. How'd you hook this up, Charlie?
Called and asked.
Yeah?
Yep.
Is that the way it usually works?
That's
is that
it.
Simple?
Yep. Hey, man, I want to take a look. What's going on?
And you're one of those guys who will ask for anything.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that the problem with most of these people? They get shut down before they even try?
I don't know. I don't know how, you know, 90% of the jobs getting in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what other people's methodologies are. Mm. I just want to, you know, it's a bucket list.
Oh, doing the firefighting?
Yeah, just, you know, I'm interested in people that serve. You know, I'm happy 4th of July. They're going to be around. And what do? Who are you?
And how about the rest of your 4th of July weekend? You going to go up north?
Going to go up north, drink some beer, bro.
Sweet.
You?
A lot of family. I'm hanging out here.
Drinking some beer?
Yeah, I'll be drinking some beer. And let's see, what else am I doing? I don't know what we're doing, actually. I didn't thought about it. I was so pumped up about the Lenny Dykstra thing today that when that came up yesterday, I have not even given it a moment's thought. But Tigers are out of town, so I guess I won't be doing any Tiger games. I don't know. Maybe I'll catch the fireworks.
They're over.
Yeah, the international fireworks. That's June 20th. It's pretty weird when your fireworks are on June 27th. I just haven't gotten used to that.
Yeah, me either.
I know it's the compromise date between Canadian independence and U.S. independence, but it just, I don't know.
Yeah, they foot half the bill for those things, so, you know.
Oh, that's right. I thought, honestly, if they refuse to pay for it, I think that Pyro family that puts it on would do it anyway. They're so into that. The Zambelli family? Isn't that who it is? Aren't they the Pyros that put that on?
You've spoken to them before, haven't you?
I have. Yes. A couple times. The Zambellis. I'm, again, fascinated by that Gordie Howe, when he was lying in state, you know, at Joe Louis Arena, we were reading about that, and there was a guy who arrived at 11:30 the night before to be the first in line to view Gordie.
Yeah.
It's like, why? What was the big deal? And then with the fireworks, it's the same thing. There are people who are there at like 4 in the morning lining up to get their spot on the grass when they don't open the doors till 2 o'clock. How can you sit there? How do people do that? Could you ever do that, sit in line for something for that long?
Why do people do that?
I don't know. You know, it's not like they wouldn't get a seat if they showed up at 1:30. It's not like they'd be denied. It's not like there's a big line at 1:30.
Right.
It just blows my mind.
I might use the time to make a call to see if anybody's got like a office where we could look out the window and, you know, drink beer and stuff.
There you go. Yeah, I don't, these people are intense, man. What can you say? But anyway, have a great holiday.
You too.
And good
brother.
Luck. Don't get hurt today.
Happy 4th, everybody.
Yeah, likewise. And we'll be back on Monday. I think Mark will be back in the fray. Mark may be a 3-day a weeker now that he's got a little more time.
Why are you laughing?
I know. It's a shame. It's a damn shame. But it'll be all right. Everybody will be all right. We'll figure something out. Mark will figure something out. I'll figure something out. And meanwhile, we're enjoying the podcast, and hopefully you are too. And thanks again, Charlie.
Yeah. Jay, you going to take us out on some patriotic music, brother?
You can do that.
Yeah, let's see. What would be the ideal? I was going to say Born in the USA, but that's not what we think it is.
Well, you could do the classic John Philip Sousa.
Oh, some real life.
Or you could do Jimi Hendrix, Star Spangled Banner.
Could do say, it. How about some Jimmy?
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
The mullet says Jimmy.
Have a good one, everybody. See ya. We'll be right back.